Open your Bibles to the 34th Psalm. Psalms 34. One of my favorites. And I often read from this psalm when I visit folks who are in the hospital facing surgeries and things of that nature. 34th Psalm. I'm going to read the first 8 verses. I want you to follow along with me as I read Psalm 34. If you don't have a Bible, there's one in the pew rack. I'd encourage you to get that and use it. Psalm 34. Psalm of David, when he changed his behavior before Abimelech, who drove him away, and he departed. If you don't understand that, David had gone over to the Philistines and was there and wanted to get away, and so he started to act kind of like a crazy man, foaming at the mouth and things of that nature, and changed his behavior. And they drove him away. They threw him out of the place. And David got delivered by that. But he writes here, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. And let's pray. Father, we've so enjoyed already being in this place today. We've sensed the fellowship of believers. We've sensed the anticipation of your doing a work in hearts and lives here today. And we thank you and praise you. We come this morning a needy people once again, needing not anything that man can do for us or give us, but only what can come from heaven. We need to hear from you, the touch of your Holy Spirit, the moving by your Holy Spirit in our hearts and in our lives. No doubt there are unsaved people in our midst today, folks who have never made that commitment, never come to Jesus Christ and received him as their Savior. Perhaps they are religious and good people, but they've never done what the Bible says one must do to have eternal life, and that's to open their heart to Jesus Christ and confess him as their Savior. And Lord, this morning I pray that any here in that situation would come today, make that decision. And then I pray as believers that this morning we would once again be refreshed and renewed and strengthened and encouraged spiritually. And where need be, we'll be rebuked. Lord, that our hearts would just be tender towards you. Again, we don't want it just to be another service, just to be another time when we went to church. We desperately need for it to be a time when your Holy Spirit deals with us. Help me. Use me. I want to be that tool in your hands, Lord. Help me to be that vessel that you can use to your praise and glory today. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Titled this, A Spiritual Taste Test. A Spiritual Taste Test. In verse 8, David says, O taste and see that the Lord is good. You know, the natural reaction of any normal person when they have experienced something wonderful is to share the experience with other people. Now, usually that sharing their experience with other people takes two forms, two methods, if you will. First, the one who's experienced something very wonderful shares this experience by telling other people about it, or verbally. For instance, if somebody finds a good restaurant, by the way, if you do, let me know. a place, when I say good restaurant, I'm talking about good food, low prices. Amen. But when we find something like that, we're anxious to tell other people about it. If a woman finds a dress shop where she's able to get good quality clothes at bargain prices, she's anxious to tell whoever she can about it. Man, she's on that phone. You got to get over here to see the bargains. That's the first way, verbally. But there's a second way, the one who's experienced something good and wonderful, wants to share it or will share it. And that way is by getting to experience that thing they've experienced. For instance, the person with the good experience at the restaurant, they're going to tell others about it. But then they're going to try to get others to go there and experience it for themselves. The woman who finds the bargain prices at the quality clothes is not just going to tell somebody about it. She's going to try to get some of her friends to go there and experience it for themselves. So we see that for a normal person, it's very natural when he or she has experienced some wonderful things to share verbally what happened and then to share the experience by trying to get others to have the same experience. Now, in our text for today, we find that very truth, or those very truths, exemplified by David. Most of us know about David, Jesse's youngest son. He tended the sheep. He testifies how while tending sheep, he killed a bear and a lion with his own hands. He later slew the giant Goliath. He was anointed to be the king over all Israel. He's the one that fell. David. But there's one more thing we need to know about David. And the Bible testifies of this. He was a man after God's own heart. You see, here's the fact. David had tasted of God. David had personally experienced the presence of God in his life. David knew what it was like to know God in good times and bad times. In times when he walked in righteousness and when he was in deepest sin. He knew what it was like to have God in his life when he was the victorious warrior and when he was the one fleeing from the enemy. Now in Psalm 34, he begins by sharing a little of his experience with God in verses 1 through 7. Then in verse 8, he challenges all who will hear his testimony to come and experience for themselves all that God offers. David says to all of us, I've tasted God and I've found him to be good. Now I'm beseeching you to come and experience him, to taste him as I have. And learn for yourself of his goodness. Charles Haddon Spurgeon said this about what David says. That David says, make a trial, an inward experimental trial, or the goodness of the goodness of God. You cannot see except by tasting for yourself. But if you taste, you shall see. For this, like Jonathan's honey, enlightens the eyes. See, this morning, each one of us needs to taste and see that the Lord is good. We need to do that individually. And I want to share with you some reasons why we have to do that as individuals. Number one, because tasting is a revealing experience. A revealing experience. David says, taste and see. You see, you ever notice babies, when they get to crawl around, you ever notice they got to taste everything? They get a hold of something. What's the first thing they do? They taste it. And what they're doing is, because by tasting it, it's going to reveal some things to them. They have a good sense there. Now, David says we need to taste and see for ourselves. And we need to taste, number one, because tasting brings affirmation. It's a revealing experience to us. It brings affirmation. Taste, see, experience, prove something. By tasting and experiencing them, we can know for ourselves. See, it brings affirmation. I was thinking about this, and, you know, there have been times I don't care much for hot peppers. I can take a little bit, but I'm not a big hot pepper fan. My wife likes hot peppers. So there have been times when we've had a hoagie or a sandwich or something, and there's peppers on it. I'll say to her, "Are those peppers hot?" "No, they're not too hot." And I taste them, and I find out for myself just how hot they are. It brings affirmation. I found out when I tasted. Now I know for me. Tasting brings affirmation. And then tasting is sometimes necessary for that affirmation. You see, we really can't know a lot of things until we've experienced it for ourselves. And that's what David is saying. We've got to experience God. Because we can't know a lot of things until we personally experience Him. You know, others can share their perceptions about things with us, but we have to experience for ourselves to really know. For instance, we hear a lot and people can tell us a lot about the joys of being in love. But see, we've got a taste of love ourselves to really understand all that's involved. Huh? Listen, before I fell in love with my wife and got married and all, people could tell me about love, but I couldn't fathom what all they were talking about in that kind of a relationship. But once I did, boy, could I ever. And married couples can tell young people about the wonderfulness of being married and having a mate, you know, and all, but they can't understand until they experience it. Taste and see. We've heard about the joys of childbirth. Our own children coming into the world. And to me, that's such a miracle. To see new life. But you know, we never really can understand it and fully appreciate it for what it is until it happens to us. Tasting is a revelation. And it's an affirmation to us. And tasting of God's goodness is the only way we're ever going to know how good God really is. Until we taste and see and experience, we can't know. I heard much about God's goodness before I got saved. And the world out there oftentimes hears about how good God is, but they can't know like a saved person can know the goodness of God. That's why David says, taste and see. Taste for yourself. Number one, we need to taste for ourselves because tasting is a revealing experience. We can only know by experiencing it ourselves. Number two, because tasting is a personal experience. Oh, taste and see. The implied subject or understood subject of that phrase, the one doing the action, if you will, is every individual who reads those words. You must taste and see. You could put your name in there. Go ahead and insert your name and say, Art Gilmore, taste and see that the Lord is good. See, nobody can taste for somebody else. Huh? I cannot experience or taste things for you. Neither can you taste or experience things for me. Now, we can ask somebody, hey, taste this, tell me what you think. We get their opinion. We get what they think of it. The only way to really know for me is for me personally to taste. And so I cannot taste food for you. I can relate how I perceive it, my perception of it, but that's what I came to by tasting it. When I was thinking about this, I thought about collard greens. You say, what's that got to do with anything? How many of you love collard greens? Okay, I'm going to try to help you this morning. We moved down south, and then we went to North. Now, in Florida, wasn't a problem. In North Carolina, those folks are really into collard greens. They used to get on me, you know, turnip greens, about the same thing. And they used to tell me, you Yankees throw away the best part of the turnip. Now, we'd go to Cracker Barrel or somewhere. They'd order these turnip greens or collard greens, whatever you want to call them. Usually they'd say, put a big piece of raw onion right on the top. And they'd say, want some, preacher? No, thank you. Now you say, what do they taste like? I have no earthly idea. I've asked them and they've given me their opinions of what they taste. Some say, well, it's like spinach or it's like this or it's like that. But personally, I don't know. And to be honest with you, I'm not interested in finding out. They would tell me, oh, they're wonderful. I love them. You ought to try them. No, thank you. That's their opinion. But I've never tasted, so I can't tell you. Nobody can taste for you. You can't taste for anyone. No one can taste or experience in the food realm. And we're bringing that around to other realms. Nobody can taste or experience emotions for another. The experience of love or grief or joy or exuberation. You can't experience that for somebody else. Nobody can taste for another person. We all have to taste for ourselves. And the only way a person is ever going to realize the goodness of God is to taste of Him, experience Him personally. I could stand up here and go on for hours of how good God has been to me and to my wife and to our family. But that would all be my perception. Unless you've tasted of how good God has been to you, you can't really understand or know what I'm talking about. Each of us has to come to that place where we personally experience God and His goodness so we can know. We need to taste and see because it's a revealing experience and it's a personal experience. But I want you to know, thirdly, it's a rewarding experience. I'm glad David didn't say, oh, taste and see that the Lord is a hard taskmaster. That's not what he said. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is difficult to follow. No, that's not what he said. He said, taste and see that the Lord is good. Good. David is crying out to men everywhere, hey, come and experience personally the goodness of Almighty God. You know, a lot of people have the wrong image of God in their heart and mind. You know, there are some people who think God is some big ogre up in heaven. And he's just sitting up there waiting for us to mess up so he can zap us. That's not the God I have. I have a good God. I've tasted the goodness of God. And so we need to get the right perception. The only way we can do that is by experiencing it. The goodness of God. We need to taste of, God's love. The Bible says that God loves all of us. For God so loved the world, that's us, that He gave His only begotten Son, whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John tells us we love God because He first loved us. And you might say today, why would God love me? Because He chose to. Yeah, but I've got this in my life and that in my life, and I've not had any time for Him, and I even use His name in vain, and I do wicked things. Why would God love me? Because way back, before the very foundations of the world, God made a decision. I am going to love. Put your name in there. Has nothing to do with who you are, what you are, what you've done. Unconditional love. God loves you today. Doesn't matter who you are, what you are, where you come from, what color you are, how tall you are, how short you are, how fat, or even how much hair you have.
Amen.
God loves you today. God is good, and we need a taste of His love. No matter how unworthy, no matter how unlovable we are, no matter how much we disappoint Him and fail Him, His love will never cease. We need a taste of that kind of love. Where do you find that kind of love on this earth? It's rare. For somebody to love you unconditionally, it's rare. I'm not saying it's not here, because many times, we find with our mates, we must love our mates unconditionally. That's one of the reasons we have a high divorce rate. Because our young people today are getting married with stars in their eyes and all these expectations, and when they're not met up to, then they're ready to just throw in the towel. See, when they wake up after about 6 months and the honeymoon's over, and the reality sets in, he don't squeeze a toothpaste tube from the bottom. She leaves the cupboard doors open all the time. And when she stirs her tea, she's beating that cup to death. I can't stand it. He leaves his dirty socks on the floor. And all of a sudden, I don't love her anymore, and I don't love him anymore. But see, unconditional love says, hey, he might squirt that toothpaste tube the wrong way, but I love him anyway. And so what if she leaves the cupboard door open? I love her anyway. Drives me nuts, but I love her anyway. And if she beats that cup to death and breaks it, we'll just have to buy another cup. I'm going to love her anyway. Unconditional love. By the way, I hit home on some of them, didn't I? Amen. That's how God loves us. We need a taste of that kind of love because it's so rare in this world. We have so many people who love you as long as you meet up to their expectation. Not so with God. Taste and see. Here's one who really, really, really does love you. And then taste of His mercy. We're all sinners. We know that. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Think in your heart and mind right now. One sin you committed this week. It's hard to think of just one. We're sinners. And the Bible says there's a penalty for our sin. For the wages of sin is death. That's eternal separation from God. As sinners, we're separated from Him. There's this big wall of sin between us. We can't fellowship. We can't talk. We can have nothing to do with God, and God will have nothing to do with us because of sin. But God loved us so much, He made a way to take care of that. He showed us mercy. See, mercy is not getting what we deserve. When we show somebody mercy, they deserve certain treatment, and we're not going to give that to them. We're going to spare them. And that's what God did to us. He showed us mercy in that He made a way for us not to have to be in hell burning forever, separated from Him. We're sinners. But we can taste of God's mercy. And we can taste of His grace. I said mercy is not getting what we deserve. Grace is getting what we don't deserve. And that's heaven. We don't deserve heaven. You say, "Oh, I think I'm a pretty good person." Yeah, but you don't get that a good person. And by the way, good in whose eyes? Where did your standard for good come from? You're judging yourself by man's standard of what's good. You need to judge yourself by what God says is good. And God says, there is none good. There is none righteous. No, not one. God showed us mercy. He doesn't give us what we deserve. He showed us grace. He made a way for us not to have to burn in hell. He sent Jesus Christ to die for our sins. And we can taste of that grace. And then we taste of His long-suffering. I'm glad God is long-suffering. I have a tendency to be impatient. I admit it. I try to deal with it. But I have a God who's long-suffering. I have a God who puts up with a lot. That's what that long-suffering is. He puts up with a lot from me and from you, from us. Picture, just go along with me for a few minutes here. Picture yourself as God. Man, I've been waiting for that. You're God. You're looking down at this old world we're living in. You created it. You made it perfect. And man has spoiled it. Man sinned. Man ruined this creation. Now you're looking down as God from heaven. If you were God, would man still be here? Probably not. When you saw all that man has done against you, and just turning his back on you and never acknowledging you and just all that man has done against God with no time for God, we would have probably said, enough of that. And God could do that. Do you realize, according to the Bible, all God would have to do was take His power away for a millisecond and this whole thing would explode. By Him all things consist. He's holding it all together. But He's never done that. He came close one time in the flood of Noah, but He preserved eight. And then He made a promise, I'll never do this again. He put the rainbow in the sky. He's long-suffering. And we need a taste of that long-suffering God that we have. He's patient with us. He's long-suffering with lost people. I'm talking about people who aren't saved. He was long-suffering with me. I didn't get saved till I was 25. But you know, He kept the Holy Spirit after me. He didn't have to do that. He kept the gospel witness before me. He didn't have to do that. He's long-suffering. And for those of us who are saved, when we fail Him, He's long-suffering. He don't chalk us off. He don't cast us away because we failed Him. He gives us a way to get right back into the relationship. If we'll confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Listen, as a saved person, we can taste of that. Have you ever done something wrong to somebody and they've chalked you off? Isn't that heartbreaking? And as much as you might want to make it right, they won't hear it. Oh, I'm glad God isn't that way. There's not a sin I can commit that would make God not forgive me if I come in true repentance. God made a promise. If I confess, He's faithful and just to forgive me And that confess isn't just to admit I did it. It's to agree with God about how wrong it is and I need to change it and not do it again and have that kind of a spirit. We need a taste of His mercy and His grace and His love and His long-suffering. We need a taste of His power. There's power with God. Saved person, you realize you are tapped into the very Creator of everything you can see and experience. Was it you that was talking about the billions and billions and billions and billions of stars? You know, the scientists have never figured out how many stars there are. Because they can't count them. And God made every one of them and hung them out there. Oh, I can't believe that. Well, you better believe that because that's what He said. He created it all. We think His creation is so great in just this earth that we see. Man, there's so much more. The miracle of creation. By the way, He created that thing you're walking around in. Called a body. Just dwell on the intricacies of this body sometime. The miracle that He is. Just the brain alone is such a miracle. By the way, I read something the other day that, I don't know, how much does our brain weigh? 4 pounds? 5 pounds? Help me. Anybody know? Somewhere around there. But like 90% of it's water. Huh? I couldn't get over that. All that this thing does, this is greater than any computer man's ever invented. And God did all that. And we can tap into His power. He gives us power in our lives. Power to overcome sin. Power to bring defeat the devil. Power to bring our flesh into subjection. Power to live the Christian life. Power to do the work of God. We can tap into His power, but we have to taste and see. Taste of His provision. My God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory. I'm so glad I don't have to depend on me for all of my provision. I depend on Him. Now, that don't mean I just don't go lay down and say, okay, God, provide. See, His Word says, gives us some principles. All through Proverbs, it talks about slothfulness, laziness. God's against that. And God says this, if a man don't work, he shouldn't eat. That's a good principle. God expects us to do what we can do. But when we come to the end of what I can do, He's there and He's going to provide for me. What a wonderful thing to know that it don't all depend on me. He's going to meet my needs. And then number four, we need to taste because tasting is a life-changing experience. Listen, if you've ever truly tasted of God, you will never be satisfied apart from Him. Let me say that again. If you've ever truly tasted of God, you can never be satisfied apart from Him. I don't want to pick on Jennifer, but they're Yankee fans. Pray for them. Now, Brother Frank took Jennifer to a Yankees game and he bought her seats way down third row. First time she'd ever been in a third row. The Yankees game. Well, Frank now created a monster because the only way Jennifer wants to go to a game is in the third row. See, anything less than that. Now, I said that to illustrate this. I've tasted of God. And anything less than Him and His will and Him in my life has nothing for me. Not appealing. I've said many times I wouldn't go back to being unsaved for anything. And you'll never be satisfied apart from Him. Tasting of Him whets our appetite. And it causes us to desire to know Him better and experience more of Him. There used to be, for some of us old timers, a potato chip commercial. And it said this, "Bet you can't eat one." How many of you have ever? Yeah, what were they saying? You get one, you're going to want more. Let me tell you something. You get a good dose of God, you're going to want more. One's not going to be enough, man. You're going to be wanting, wanting, wanting more of Him. More of experiencing Him. It's interesting to watch new converts when they get saved and how they get on fire. Boy, they can't get enough of God. They want to read their Bible and they want to come to church and they want to ask questions, want to get involved, all kinds of things. For the new Christian, why? Their appetite has been stirred and been wet. And nothing satisfies but God. Finally, whoop, got to back up. Oh, I jumped ahead. Tasting of God is going to revolutionize our lives. You see, those who taste of God are going to become new creatures. That means we have new desires, new rules of life, new standards, new priorities, new strength, new way of thinking, new actions, new activities. All things are become new. I can think back to when I got saved and I can see how things became new. I wasn't the same old me. I didn't think in the same old ways. I didn't want the same old things. Why? God did something in me, made me a new creature. You know, it's interesting that oftentimes those who have never been saved, who have never tasted of God, never experienced Him, become tired and wearied of their old lifestyle. But they don't have the power to change it. How many times do you talk to people who are unsaved and they've got things in their life and oh, I don't like doing this. Yeah, I wish I wasn't into this, but I just can't seem to get out of it. Not so with a Christian. You see, those who taste of God are changed. He delivers us and He molds us into the image of Jesus Christ and He gives us the power to change what needs changed. But you got a taste of Him. So we're back to that. Psalm 34, verse 8, the cry of David, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." Do you think he knew anything about the goodness of God? Do you think he wants other people to know what he knows? To experience what he experiences? And so he cries out. And he's crying out to you today. Hey, taste and see. And the question is, have you? Have you tasted of him? Have you experienced him in your life? Has there been a time in your life where you realize you're a sinner and you don't deserve heaven and the fact the Bible says you will not get into heaven? And you realize you need a Savior. Has there been a time when you did what God says we must do in His Word? It's simply this. Call upon Him. Invite Him. Receive Him, however you want to phrase it, but it comes back to this. Believe in Jesus Christ and what He did and accept what He did for you and apply it to your life. Have you done that? That's how you taste and see. That's how you get into the family. Have you personally experienced His love and His mercy and His grace in that matter of salvation? As a saved person, have you experienced His long-suffering and His power and His provision in your life? By the way, as a believer, having tasted of Him, have you sought more of Him? Or are you just satisfied? One of my prayers is, I go back to Psalm 42. As the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my heart after you, O Lord. I want to know Him better. I want to walk closer. I want to be more of what He wants me to be. I've tasted. I want more. How about you? Will you bow your head, close your eyes for just a minute? Have you tasted of Him in this matter of salvation? Are you saved? If you died right now, if your heart stopped beating and you died right now, do you have the assurance that you'd wake up in heaven? If you have that assurance this morning, you don't have a doubt in your mind, you're saved. If you died right in that seat, you'd just step into the presence of Jesus. You know Him as your Savior. Would you hold your hand up as a testimony? I don't have any doubts, preacher. I know. I've been born again. I've been saved. You can put it down. I wonder, is there somebody in here this morning, maybe several, who say, preacher, I don't have that assurance. I've never really tasted to see the Lord is good in salvation. And this morning I need that. I need to get saved. I know it. God knows it. I'm willing to admit it. Here's my hand. Would you hold it up high? That's me, preacher. I've never tasted of the salvation God's offered me. Here's my hand. Believer, you've tasted of Him. Do you desire more? I wonder how many believers in here would say, preacher, honestly, I do want to know God better. I do want to walk closer. I do want to be more used of Him. I've tasted, but oh, I want more than just the taste I've had. God's speaking to my heart this morning. Here's my hand. I'm admitting it. God bless you. God bless you. You've tasted, but you want more. I wonder if there's somebody here today say, preacher, I'm saved. I've tasted, but I've not allowed God to change my life like He wants to. I've been bucking up like an old mule. I've been holding out on Him. I know there's things He wants to change, and I just haven't been willing. I've been rebellious in some things. And this morning, I'm getting it right with God, and I'm yielding to Him and asking God to have His way in those matters. Here's my hand. Would you hold it up high? Hold it up high. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Let's stand together. Song number 485. Have thine own way, Lord. Here's the invitation. Listen, you need to be saved. As soon as we start to sing, you come and meet me right here. And of course, that won't save you. But it'll let me put you with a man if you're a man, lady if you're a lady. Take you over here to a quiet place and show you how to be saved. Many raised their hand and said, in essence, I want a closer walk. I've tasted, but I want more. Would you come this morning and pour your heart out before God? And cry out to Him. God says if you'll draw nigh to Him, He'll draw nigh to you. Would you come and make clear to Him you want to draw nigh close to Him? Father, bless this invitation. Thank you for David and how he says, taste and see that the Lord is good. He's experienced it, and he wants others to experience what he's tasted and what he's known. Help us to be that way as Christians. Bring the unsaved that we might see them come to Christ. Bring believers that they might make decisions for you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Will you come today as we sing? Will you come right now?